Welcome to another episode of Amazing Individuals, where we talk to individuals with intellectual disabilities and people that support them. On today's episode, we will be talking to Special Olympics Ohio CEO Jessica Stewart and Special Olympics Ohio athlete and board member Bobby Riedel. Hi, Jessica and Bobby. Thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for inviting us, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, well, let me first off by asking each of you, and it doesn't matter which one goes first, but where you are from.
Bobby, athletes first. You're first.
Okay. I am from Madison, Ohio, in Lake County, Ohio. It's about 45 minutes east of Cleveland.
Oh, that sounds good. And how about you, Jessica?
Yeah, so currently I live in Columbus, Ohio. Moved to Columbus about 6 years ago from Northwest Ohio. Kind of grew up in that area. But I will say all my life, I kind of grew up everywhere. My dad was in the Air Force. So I settled back in Ohio in high school. So I've been back. I would consider myself a Midwestern girl, but I would also consider myself a Southern girl. I grew up a lot of time in Louisiana. So, yep.
Oh, so when your dad was in the Air Force, did you get to go overseas then?
I did not. Okay. I wasn't as far away as I got from here was California, where I was born. So that's not overseas.
Because my real dad was in the Navy, and when I lived with him for a little bit, the farthest we went was Guam.
You went much farther than I did.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but yes. I grew up in, well, kind of, I went to high school in Toledo, so.
Toledo, Ohio?
Yep, that's where my parents are at.
My goodness, I didn't realize that. That's where I lived before I came down here.
So. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Sylvania, yeah, Toledo, Sylvania area, so yeah.
Oh, that's right, because of the 419 phone number, I think you had mentioned that. So, now it's all coming back.
Why I know the 419. So yeah. Actually, I think we're gonna be going there in September to help them out a little bit. So
all right.
Yeah. So well, actually this next question is for you, Jessica. So how long have you been with Special Olympics Ohio and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so I have been with Special Olympics Ohio. I started in January of 2018. So it's been 4.5 years, Bobby, 4.5 years. So it's been amazing. And I got involved. I would say nonprofit work is pretty much in my DNA. I've pretty much always worked in nonprofit, but I worked with the American Cancer Society for 17 years. And loved the organization. I will always have a piece of my heart. But I found out from a friend that there was a position open as the CEO of Special Olympics Ohio. And I thought, what a great opportunity for me to expand my leadership, but also to work with those with intellectual disabilities. My aunt, when I moved back to Ohio, from Louisiana in high school, we stayed with my grandparents for a while. And my aunt had an intellectual disability as well as a physical disability. But, you know, I've always had a passion for those in the disability space. And my aunt is really kind of what drove me to this, and I'm excited to be here. So yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I found that a lot of staff members, that's how they try to get involved, is they have usually a family member or a friend that, mm-hmm. you know, gets them involved. So Bobby, this question is for you. So what sports do you compete in and what is your favorite sport?
So my favorite sport is basketball. In 2016, I had surgery on my Achilles and I can't do as much as I used to do. I currently do track and field as an athlete, and I am also an assistant coach for basketball and softball.
Okay, and Bobby, you said you were an assistant coach. How did that come about?
So right around the same time, 2016, Special Olympics Ohio started an athlete leadership program, and through the athlete leadership program, that's how I became the first Ohio level 3 certified coach here in Ohio. So that's how all that started. So I feel like one door closed and another door opened. Oh, it would really cool.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel the same way. You know, I mean, there's stuff I physically can't do anymore, but, you know, through athlete leadership, you can, you know, you can still, in Special Olympics, you can still do as much as you can. So yeah.
Exactly.
So with you coaching, you had mentioned you were coaching. You had a chance to do that at the USA Games here last month. Can you tell our listeners a little bit what that experience was like?
Oh, yeah. It was an honor and a privilege to be the head coach of the Unified Intercollegiate Basketball Team for Ohio. And it was amazing. I feel like it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We had a close game with Texas where we won 38-34. And then the next day, we had a defensive game against Kentucky, 45-35. And then the last game, just before full play, we played North Carolina. Unfortunately, we lost 45-58, but I actually thought of it as the Special Olympic version of the ACC Big Ten Challenge that college basketball does.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we were put in Division A, and our first full play game was against Florida. And we actually lost to them, Florida 47-37. And then we played Kentucky again later on in the day for the bronze medal. And we won that game 36-21. And I really enjoyed coaching against the greatest coaches in the country. And it was amazing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. My husband and I really enjoyed the experience as well. And Jessica, how about you? And what was maybe your favorite part about this year's USA Games?
Oh my gosh, Lisa, that's a really tough question. It's a really tough question. I think for me, it's probably a combination of, it was our first big event back after mm-hmm. COVID. So it was a fantastic opportunity to finally feel like we were all back in the game, right? So I think probably one of my favorite things was traveling down with a delegation. It was pretty complicated. We were on, you know, private flights and three or four commercial flights and all trying to get down there. But I really liked being flight lead. I think it was great because it gives you an opportunity and a chance to really get to talk to the athletes and really spend time with them as we traveled. So that was definitely a highlight. But, you know, I think also every event I watched or every athlete I watched had such a unique celebratory piece to it. But I'll tell you, I was really, really proud of Bobby as our first level 3 certified head coach, not assistant coach. So he was the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great to be able to see, in the spirit of athlete leadership, see our athletes really grow and really step up in a different capacity outside of just competing. So which in itself is phenomenal. But I would say that definitely watching our teams, watching our individual athletes, really kind of that Team Ohio spirit, I think was also super cool and one of my favorite parts. Oh my gosh, Lisa, I could go on, but I won't for the sake of time.
Oh, that's okay. No, I feel the same way. When we came back, people asked us what our favorite parts were, and it's like, you know, we can't just pick one. So, you know, so, but with the athlete leadership piece, how have you seen that grow, you know, and maybe, you know, since you've worked with Special Olympics?
Yeah, so I think when we just had this conversation here, this is like hot off the press in the past couple of weeks. So, you know, I think we always talk about putting our athletes first, and we always talking about listening to the voice of our athletes. And even though I think we did, I feel like it was kind of inviting our athletes in to help after we've made a decision, right? So I think the pivot has been is really giving our athletes more of a proactive voice and really being part of the strategy. So I think that's been really super positive in Ohio and just within the past 2 weeks. And I think it's, you know, we're all trying to find our footing again after COVID coming back. And Now, as we're looking at staffing the organization back up to effectively support the athletes in all the areas that are important, you know, in our sports and our unified champion schools and obviously development to raise the funds for athletes, the one area that I really wanted to make sure we stayed dialed into was our athlete leadership. So we, for the first time ever, have a full-time dedicated staff person that just, she's not a new staff to us, but she's shifting in her roles. And she is incredibly passionate about our athletes. She comes from a local program. She comes from a coach background. So she really has the grassroots understanding of our athletes and, you know, the understanding of what's really important. So I am excited for that. I think what's going to be kind of new and paving the way is she is going to be on the Unified Champion Schools team, which is wonderful, even though she's all athlete leadership. We're really going to look at that integration with Unified Champion Schools youth leadership, right? And that mm-hmm. graduation from school into the community and how important and critical that is. So there'll be a nice kind of merging of athlete leadership and youth leadership and unified leadership. So it all is kind of being housed in the same department, because I feel like for us here, it's been shuffled around a little bit. Like we had over it in program and we're like, because it is a program, it's a significant program piece. But then we moved it over to development and it didn't really find a home there. And I'm like, we've got to figure out what we want to do to really invest in this. So we've already had some initial conversations with the staff. I think our ALC, I won't steal Bobby's thunder here, but they met on Saturday. So the good news is I think we are well on our way to setting some strategy for our athlete leaders. And I think that's what we haven't really had. So again, all of that circling back is really investing in what Ohio believes to be a critical program. Because if you look at athlete leadership as a whole, I really feel like it lifts everything, right? It lifts mm-hmm. how everything happens, and athlete leadership can be integrated into everything. So I think without putting too much on our athlete leadership council's plate, it's obviously going to be prioritizing what those critical needs are this year. And that's going to be a priority that our athletes determine on what it needs to be. So hopefully that speaks a little bit to our passion and our focus around athlete leadership and why it's critical for us here in Ohio.
Oh, most definitely. And what is it like to have like an athlete like Bobby on serving on your board?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's everything. And Bobby, I'm going to use that quote of yours because I'll never forget it. We were, and it is really everything, right? It's making sure that we start out with a mission moment, and our athlete leaders plan that for the most part, every board meeting, unless there's something else that pops up. But, and then we go right into our athlete leadership update. So it's the second thing on the agenda because it is critically important. So, you know, we've had Tara on our board for a while, and Tara is a huge advocate for having another board member, another athlete board member. So Bobby joined us just this year, right, Bobby? Yeah, just this year. So yeah. Bobby's all in. You know, I would say Bobby is the most responsive board member we have, which it speaks to his abilities and his leadership. You know, and it's great. And it also keeps us all grounded. So I know that our board firmly believes in the value of athletes on our board and the voice of the athlete. So I think it was 2018, we were at Summer Games and the media showed up and they wanted to interview me. And I said, hold on a minute. And Bobby was actually standing, I think, right over, I don't know, Bobby, you were close to me. And I said, hold on, let me snag him. And I remember them asking Bobby, what does this medal mean to you? And your words were everything. And I was like, mic drop, right? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I steal Bobby's line every once in a while when I'm talking about the passion and the importance of our athletes and what they bring to the organization.
Oh, that's cool. And Bobby, what is it like to be a member of the board for Special Olympics Ohio?
First of all, it's an honor and privilege to be a member of the board. And I think you give the athletes a voice. And then also, I think of it as like unified basketball, where you got different people coming from different areas and backgrounds for a common goal. So that's how I view it.
Oh, that's kind of how I view like our ALC here, you know, is like, I think all of us do on our ALCs. It's like, you know, I mean, it's our way of giving back and also having our voice heard. So, you know, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's a great thing. So, actually I have another question for you, Bobby. So, what are some of the fundraisers you have for your state, and have you ever participated in the Polar Plunge?
Well, I have done the Polar Plunge back in 2020. Obviously, we were all at home, so I did it in my backyard. Ice bucket challenge, kind of. So that was really fun. And I also did the sponsor and athlete, which I created my unified team page for USA Games. And I believe in giving back to what's been given to me. So I think that's very important.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice way to see it. You know, it's always good to give back. So we try to do that even at practice. You know, when we have some athletes that are struggling or whatever, we try to, you know, give back to them. So that's a great way to see it. So Jessica, since Special Olympic is trying to be more athlete-led, what are your thoughts about having athletes as staff members for Special Olympics?
Yeah, I love that idea. And we had, for the first time ever, we now have a athlete on staff. Liz Boy is with us part-time currently, and she is a member of our Columbus City Schools program and kind of grew up in the Columbus City Schools program. And now as an adult, they keep our athletes in through adult after they graduate. So I'll tell you, it changes the dynamic of our staff team. It is incredibly, every day I hear her laughing like down the hallway. I'm like, Liz is here. It changes the whole dynamic of the office. So, but I think what's the most critical for me is I've always wanted to have an athlete on staff, but I wanted it to be a super meaningful role because I didn't want to just get somebody to answer phones or somebody to fill the coffee, you know, brew the coffee. I wanted it to be meaningful. And Liz is on our Unified Champion Schools team. So she goes out to the schools as we're recruiting schools, speaks about the importance of what it is to be an athlete. And I really feel like we've hit a home run when we talk about meaningful experiences as employees of the organization. I'd love to have more, but I'm glad we at least have Liz right now. But I would love to see our athletes lifted into more leadership roles as staff members as well.
Well, hopefully that's what I'm hopefully going to be working on, you know, for my project for Berlin next year. So hopefully that'll turn into something. So,
all right.
So, yeah. So now this question is actually for both of you guys. Outside of Special Olympics, what are some of your favorite things you'd like to do? Hopefully it's not watching Ohio State.
I love Ohio State. Ohio State football is one of my favorite sports to watch. I also love Cleveland sports, especially the Browns and Cavs. And I also volunteer as a coach for the YMCA, second and third grade basketball. So I try to stay involved in the community, volunteering with the things that I love. Sports is what I love. So I try to implement that and try to use my experiences to inspire people that may not have a disability. So that's why I volunteer at the YMCA.
Oh, that sounds like fun. And how about you, Jessica? So what do you like to do outside of Special Olympics?
Yeah. I think for me outside, well, I don't know. Is there a life outside of Special Olympics? No, I don't think so. No, I'm teasing. So I love to spend time with my family. I think that always is incredibly grounding to me to be with my kids. My daughter's here today. We're going to go out to eat, go out to dinner. And then we are hitting a plant farm tomorrow. So I love to garden. I love plants. I live downtown in Columbus in a condo on the fifth floor. So I don't have a lot of time out with my hands in the dirt. So my place looks like a kind of a garden, I would say, an internal urban garden, I would say. So that's one of the things that I really like to do. I love to travel. I love to experience other, you know, other parts of the world, other parts of the country. There's so much great places to visit here just in the States alone. And I also try to stay active. You know, I'm also a diehard binge watcher on shows. So some days I just go and watch something. So, and I try to stay active as much as I can, physically active. It's important for, I think, for my physical but mental well-being as well. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. What's your favorite show to binge watch? So,
you know, it's interesting you asked that because my daughter and I are, and my mom are kind of crime junkies. So we mm-hmm. like some of the crime stuff. I don't know, Stranger Things we were just talking about. Game of Thrones, the prequel's coming out. So that's another one we're really excited about. So I think I tend to like things that are more action focused. And yeah, so those are a couple that I like, but I don't know. Game of Thrones was a big one for me. Stranger Things, I was just talking to my daughter about it, and she said, "You haven't even started season 4." I'm like, "No, because I want to go back and start from the beginning again, so mm-hmm. I can enjoy the whole thing." So yeah, I mean, that's a little bit about what we like. What do you guys like to watch?
So we basically crime documentaries or yeah. What else is it there? Documentaries like of rock music or music and stuff.
Very good.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's basically because we're not we watched the whole thing of Shameless, you know, before when it was on.
Oh yeah, that's a
so
good
yeah,
one.
So that was a big one. Actually, we own the whole series now, so we liked it so much. So, and then we like, you know, going out and doing stuff with Northwestern. And the only reason why I said not Ohio State because I grew up hating Ohio State. I was told not to.
You know, my whole, Lisa. We won't hold it against you.
My whole family went to Illinois, so the majority of them went to Illinois. So, it was we kind of grew up Illinois fans. And to end, could you please have both of you guys, and maybe Bobby, you can start. Could you please tell our listeners one thing people might not know about you, like a hidden fact?
Sure. When I was born, the doctor told my mom and dad that I would not be able to walk and talk, and that I should be placed in an institution. Not only do I walk and talk, but I also drive, and I also have an 18-year-old daughter.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I trust me, but I was told the same thing that I wasn't going to be graduating from, you know, high school or getting married. And, you know, sometimes you have to prove people wrong. So how about you?
I actually like it when somebody tells me I can't do something because that just fired me up to where I was like, okay, I got to prove it.
Oh, so I agree.
Me too, Bobby.
So Jessica, what's one hidden talent you have that maybe people don't know about you?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's hidden. It's kind of all over social media, but I sing in a band. It's a cover band. I am really privileged to have kept the relationship with one of my best friends from high school. So I'm 50 now. So we've been together singing in Friends since we were 15. So is my best friend, probably will be for life, but she and I co-front a band and it's fun. It's a creative outlet for me. We do a lot of stuff up Northern Ohio. We play Put-in Bay. We actually mm-hmm. are pretty much in the circuit, Lisa, in the Toledo area.
Oh
so
yeah.
We do a lot there and yeah, so it's fun. I'm in a good place now with the band. This job is a lot and it's a priority for me, but I do find, especially over COVID, when we weren't doing band shows, I was like, maybe it's time for me to stop doing this. But then after COVID, I got back on stage and I was like, this is really fun. It's like a nice, operates a different part of my brain. And that's maybe something people don't know, or maybe they do know, but I just had Tara who texted me mm-hmm. earlier today and said, is your band still playing at Put-in Bay this weekend in August? I said, yep. She's like, I'm there. So it's nice to have athletes out and you know, it's fun.
I haven't been to Put-in Bay in I don't know how long, so you know, but I've gone there and I go to Cedar Point, so
you're ages. Definitely familiar with the area.
I mean, we would in high school I had a high school friend that every time it would open, you know, we'd always have to go, and you know, the whole summer we'd go, and you know, and just enjoy and hang out. And so, well, thank you guys so much for joining me today. So that wraps up another episode of Amazing Individuals. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please remember to subscribe to our channel for more great episodes. Before we end, I would like to remind everyone to make sure and get their COVID vaccines as well as their boosters if you have not already done so. If you are not, you are not just doing it for yourself, but you are doing it for the whole world. We hope everyone will stay healthy and safe. And remember that people with intellectual disabilities can accomplish whatever they want with the right supports. So thank you guys again.